Today we celebrate and honor those brave men and women for their service to this great country that we call America. Thank you.
Well, Memorial Day is tomorrow. We started celebrating it about 1866-ish as a nation. I think in 1971 they moved it to Monday so that our government employees could all have this three-day weekend. Not only the government, but everybody could have these three-day weekend. But, I mean, they did it thinking of federal employees, actually, I think, at the time. And now, you know, what we'll do is a lot of times we will go to the lake, we'll go to the beach, we'll have a cookout, we'll do all these things. We have a three-day weekend, which we're just thankful not to have rain this weekend, I guess. But you do all these things, and we don't take time to remember what it's really about. And we take it for granted. I don't know about you, but I take my freedom for granted a lot of times. I just think it's nothing. And until you go to some other country and you realize what we have and what people died for us to have, it helps you really understand and appreciate it more. And he asked the question, how do we honor these that have given their lives? By saying thank you for those that are alive, I guess. We can say thank you to them. And those of you that are here, there are several of you I'm looking at right now that have served our country to protect us. And we do. We do thank you. And we are just honored to have you here with us. And so many times these guys come back and nobody tells them thank you. So I always try to make it a point to tell them thank you, because they're risking their lives so my family can be safe. And so I appreciate that. But And really, Veterans Day is the day we set aside as a country to remember them as well. But I think it's fine and appropriate to remember them on Memorial Day as well. But Memorial Day is really about those that have died in wars fighting for the freedom that we have today. And it started, again, in 1866. So they didn't really start it after the Revolutionary War, but after the Civil War. In the Civil War, 498,000, think about that number, 498,000 Northern soldiers were killed. And 133,000 soldiers from the South died. In World War I, 116,000 American soldiers died. In World War II, 407,000 soldiers died, American soldiers died. 54,000 American soldiers died in Korea. 58,000. These numbers are overwhelming. 58,000 died in Vietnam. And then we move into our era, and 148 died during Desert Storm. And as of May, I think 23rd, and yesterday, I was looking online, there were 4,079 American soldiers that have died in Iraq and Afghanistan. And of course, in between there were conflicts and casualties and all kinds of different parts of the world as well. The bottom line is that more than a million Americans have died in wars around the world fighting for the freedom that we enjoy in this country. And today, and this weekend, as a nation, we pause to remember them. And the word remember carries different meanings depending on what you're talking about. It means one thing when you're talking about remembering someone who's died. It means another thing when you're talking about remembering where you put your keys. Or you ever get Alzheimer's? Where you walk out and you can't remember where you parked your car? I get that sometimes where you just like, man, I don't know where my car is. You can't remember. You ever walk into the room and you forget what you walked in there? You can't remember what you walked in there for? Or you need to remember that, man, or the really important stuff, like you remember what day your anniversary is? And it's not so important that you remember it now. What's important is that you remember it before it shows up. I mean, that's the biggest thing. And so usually you remember it like a day after because someone helps to remind you. But as we remember, these things, what you remember has a different level of impact depending on what it is you remember. And I think that even with Memorial Day, how you remember those that have died is impacted by how well maybe you knew them. Even today, at Riverside National Cemetery in California, they are reading off the names. They're reading off 148,000 names, the names of every military person that is buried there. A roll call of the dead is being read aloud over 10 days by more than 300 volunteers. They're reading names like Lamborn, Richard, Lampier, Everett, Landecker, Jared. In fact, there's a man named Joe Landecker that is reading names. He won't even read his own son's name, but on February 7th, 2007, a week before, he's 26 years old, he's a helicopter pilot, his name's Jared, he's supposed to come home to Big Bear City, and on February 7th, 2007, his dad's watching CNN at 5:30 in the morning, getting ready to go to work, when he saw that a CH-46 helicopter had been shot down on a medical mission. And so a week before he comes home, he loses his son, and he is there reading names today. And there's another man named Richard Blackaby that's there reading names as well, and he served in the military. He tried to serve in Vietnam, but medically couldn't get in. He got in later and then went 6 years without serving in a conflict, but he still goes to that cemetery every day and cares for graves and cares for families and just kind of represents families that can't be there to represent their own. And in fact, together, he and Joe Landecker are reading names in 15-minute shifts. In the middle of the night, in the middle of the day, whenever there's not a family member there to read, they stand in. Sometime tomorrow, they will read the last name on the 2,465th page. And I was reading a story about Joe Landecker and Richard Blackaby, and Richard Blackaby has a tremendous amount of devotion, but Joe Landecker, who has lost his son, at the end of the story, he's walking down there and he finds his son's marker and he weeps. It affects Joe differently than it does Richard. It's affected Richard profoundly, but it affects Joe differently. And the reason I think that some people take Memorial Day more seriously than others because they've experienced or they've seen what it's like not to have this freedom. They've seen what a gift we have. And yet others, it affects them even more powerfully. And I think it affects them more powerfully because they are remembering an individual who they loved, who died serving our country. It affects you differently if you know someone who died. It just does. There's just something about that where I can't, if you know someone who died serving our country, it affects you differently than it does someone that doesn't know them, that just kind of appreciates our freedom or maybe hasn't even experienced what it's like not to have this freedom. It just does more. It means more than a day off to the thousands of families and friends who have lost a loved one in service to our country. While we're grilling out and hanging out at the lake, and you know these families are remembering their loved ones. See, Memorial Day means a lot more when you know the one who died. It's not just true of Memorial Day. It's true every Sunday. It's true of church. That's what church is. Church means a lot more to those people that know the one who died so that they could be free. See, just like with Memorial Day, there were a lot of people that live in America, that appreciate the freedom of America, that celebrate and that have fireworks and cookouts and go to the lake, and they acknowledge that there are people that died for their freedom. But they don't really know the people that died, so it doesn't really affect them as much as it does the people that do know. And then there are those that really appreciate it, really understand it, and even know those that have died for them, and it makes a profound difference. They're not. It just affects the way they behave on Monday. It affects the way they live. It affects how they appreciate their freedom. And the same is true at church. You'll have people that come to church that they've heard the story, that know that Jesus was a real person that lived. He's a historical figure. They know about Jesus. But honestly, Monday through Friday, it doesn't really affect their life. They just know about it. They don't know the one who died. They just know about the one who died. And so they acknowledge it, but it doesn't change anything. See, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if you are in Christ, you're a new creature. If you know Jesus, old things are supposed to be passed away. You're supposed to live different. It should make an impact on the way that you live. And the reason that it doesn't for thousands, maybe millions of people that even go to church on Sunday is because they don't know the one who died and rose again. They're remembering someone and they're acknowledging a fact, but they don't really have a relationship with him. And one of the things we're supposed to do as church, one of the reasons we come together is to worship this one who died, Jesus, because the reason he died was because we sinned, and our sin deserved death. And so he comes, and we talked about last week, he comes as God come in the flesh, lives a perfect life, dies so that anyone who places their faith in him can be forgiven, because he is God come in the flesh and he's the God-man, then his sacrifice once and for all on the cross is enough to pay for your sin. It's enough to pay for that sin that you committed when you were 16. It's enough to pay for that sin that you committed when you were 20. It's enough to pay for that sin that you committed last week if you trust him. And when you place your faith in him, he says his righteousness gets placed on your account. Now, here's the deal. There are a lot of people that come in and they think that having faith in Jesus means saying that he exists. It means okay, I acknowledge he exists. I believe it, kind of like I believe Abraham Lincoln existed, so I must be okay. And it's so much more than just acknowledging a fact. Because if you believe he is who he is, then he is alive today. He's risen from the dead, and he has the right to rule your life. That's what it means to be a Christian. It means you have Jesus as the leader of your life. You've surrendered your heart to him, and you follow him. And as we get together every week, one of the things that we try to do is remind you that Jesus is the leader of your life. But also, really, this whole gospel thing, it's all about remembering that he died for us, that his blood was shed for us, that we can be forgiven. And now, because of that, if you really get that, it affects the way that you live. It affects how you treat people. It affects how you relate to sin. It affects everything. And one of the ways that Jesus left his people to remember that he died was a thing called the Lord's Supper or communion. And what happened was the last night, just before he was crucified, he meets with the disciples to celebrate a meal that was designed by God to help his people Israel remember something. Passover was designed to help them remember that God delivers, just as the Lord's Supper is designed to remind us that God delivers. He forgives of sin. The price has been paid. You don't have to earn forgiveness. You don't go and do a bunch of religious stuff to earn favor with God, but man, the price for your sin has already been paid. Paul writes about this to a messed up church, man. 1 Corinthians. The church at Corinth was way messed up. In fact, they had messed up even the Lord's Supper. They had messed it up. They would come together and they would have a feast and people would get drunk and they would go cut in front of each other. They weren't thinking about each other. And they would say, well, we're just still going to worship. We're still going to go about the Lord's Supper. They were going through the motions. They were coming to church but not remembering the one who died for them. And Paul deals with some really messed up stuff in 1 Corinthians, the whole book. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he comes in and he really gives them something really good, really beautiful here, and he explains the Lord's Supper. And really, 1 Corinthians was written. Most scholars believe and understand that this book was written before Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. So this, actually, that we're looking at this morning is the earliest account of the Lord's Supper that we have, the earliest written account that we have historically. Now, those come before it in the Bible, but chronologically, this letter was written first. And he says, but in the following, well, in verse 23, he says, I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. So Jesus and his disciples are in the upper room. They're celebrating Passover. Part of that, there's already bread, there's already a cup, there's all this there. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. And he wasn't saying this is my literal body, saying this represents my body. This bread is my body. My body's about to be broken for you. I don't think these guys even really fully understood it at the time that he was about to die. They didn't get that. But he's explaining to them, listen, here's what's about to happen. My body, my flesh, I'm about to be beaten. I'm about to be bruised. I'm about to be humiliated. I'm going to give myself so that you can be forgiven. This is my body, which is for you. Now, we read through that a lot, and I don't know if we've ever stopped just to let those words sink in. And is that true of your life? Jesus said, this is my body, which is broken, which is for you. For you. Think about that. Jesus died for you. You ever wonder if God loves you? You ever wonder if anybody cares? You ever wonder if it matters at all? Well, listen, Jesus died for you. His body was given for you. This is for you. This is a personal, individual thing. It's not about what he did for your mom or your dad or your grandparents or your Uncle Joe. What matters is that you understand that he died for you. This is my body, which is for you. Do this. It's a command. Do this in remembrance of me. In other words, they take the bread, they eat it. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. In other words, old covenant was, you keep all these rules, maybe we won't kill you. We've got a sacrificial system that'll set up and kind of cover sin for a little while. You still have to look forward to a Messiah. But this new deal, the new deal is this. It's not about keeping rules. The new deal is this. Is Jesus dies for your sin, and when you trust him, then you obey. Old deal was kind of like, maybe if I obey enough, I keep the right rules, we do the right sacrificial system, we'll live long enough to maybe see the Messiah, we'll know something about it. New deal says, here's the deal. You trust Jesus, you get forgiven. Gospel is this. I've told you this before, but the gospel is basically this. Religion says this. Religion says, I obey, therefore I'm accepted. The gospel says, I'm accepted. Jesus died for my sin. His blood was shed for me. I've trusted him. I'm accepted. Therefore, I obey. Obedience is still there. It's just all, why are you obeying? Why are you following God? Are you following him to earn his favor or because you already have his favor and forgiveness? So then he says, in the same way he took the cup after supper, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Because the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. So Jesus' blood was shed for you. He says, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And then he gives them this warning because they were so messed up and they didn't understand what they were doing. He said, because they were doing like we do Memorial Day someday. You know, we're supposed to be remembering people that died for us and we don't even think about them. And we just kind of go about, we take it as just another day. And they were doing that here as well. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. See, what I think was happening here is these people knew about Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus, a lot of them, and they were just kind of going through the motions. And it affects you totally differently when you observe the Lord's Supper and you realize you actually know the one whose body, I mean, his flesh actually was beaten for you. He actually shed his blood for you. It's totally different if you really know him. Whoever drinks this cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we're judged by the Lord, we're disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. And what he's saying is, before you, even this little cup and a cup of juice and thing of bread back here, before you eat that bread, before you drink that juice, you need to examine your heart and say, God, am I right with you? Am I holding on to sin? Have I repented of anything in my life? How about the relationships in my life? Because they were pretty messed up in Corinth. He addressed that in other places. Am I right with you? And the great thing about God is because Jesus dies for you, to get right with God, a lot of times all it takes is repenting right where you sit. Sometimes it takes longer because you have to go repent and make things right with someone else. But most of the time, it's just getting things right with God right now. And that's what this is designed to help us do, and to remember that he died for us. See, here's the thing. This whole Memorial Day thing is supposed to be about more than a day at the lake, a good sale on mattresses or furniture or whatever it is. It's supposed to be about more than that in cookouts. It's supposed to be a day that causes us to pause and consider the price of our freedom, so that we wouldn't take that freedom for granted, but that we would then do something good with it. I mean, how frustrating must it be for veterans that come back, that fight for our freedom, to come back and see people that just take it for granted, that just waste it? I mean, can you imagine if you risked your life to protect someone, and then you watch them, or you give? Have you ever done that? You ever give to someone, and you feel like, man, I've given, I've sacrificed, I've given for you, and then you see them just waste their life? What if you risk your life to protect someone and they spend the rest of your life becoming an expert at playing Halo or something like that? You know, it's like, what in the world? You know, these guys, they're wasting everything. We gave them so much opportunity, such a great chance, and they're just throwing it away. It just crushes, doesn't it? Well, here's the reality. Jesus died for you. And he wants us to make something good with what he's given us the rest of our life. See, Sunday's not supposed to be just another day where we get together for a little while, then head to the beach, go fishing, or just add church in our activity list. Although sometimes I think I can worship great at the beach. But it's supposed to be a day where we pause to remember the one who died so we could be free. And as we do that, it should affect the way that we live tomorrow. Here's what you should do with this truth. Romans chapter 6, verse 12 says this: if you know Jesus, you should let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. He died to set you free from that. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. Hey, what would our lives look like if we considered this truth that Jesus died for our sin? Not only for us, but even for other people. I mean, think about that. Think about the person that really hacked you off last week at work. Think about the person that in your family that really is making your life difficult. What if instead of just trying to make your point or get back at them, you pause for a moment and say, you know what, Jesus, you died for their sin. You love them. Your blood was shed to pay for this. So I don't need to exact my ounce of flesh. I don't exact my pound of flesh. I don't need to get my revenge. I can trust you to handle that. And you died for my sin, just like you died for their sin. How would it affect the way that you approach sin when that temptation comes up? If instead of just jumping into it, you pause, you say, okay, this is something actually that the Bible teaches that Jesus took the punishment for this on the cross. And so I don't want to participate in that. I want to stay away from that. It should make a difference in your life. The guy in the video at the front asked, how do we honor these people that have given their lives for us? And we said, then those that have served, you say thanks. And so that's one way to honor God, is saying thanks. But it's really by living for Him. Number one, the first thing some of you need to do is believe in Him. And that means not just acknowledge He exists, but trust Him. You need to surrender your life to Him. Because He died for you. And if you don't trust Him, if you don't surrender to Him, then it does you no good. You're basically just like taking that sacrifice and walking away from it, saying, yeah, that's great, but I don't really need it. Maybe you just need to love Him more. You need to worship Him. You need to live for Him. Here's a good way you can do it. You can love the people that He died for. You can love them. And I mean, really, maybe we could just love God, love other people, and even change the world by taking that message and helping other people understand who He is. I don't know where we are. It's a short day. It's Memorial Day. But it's, I think, really the powerful day. The most powerful thing you can do is remember that Christ died for you. And so I want you to take a moment and think about that. And maybe examine your own heart. You know, a lot of times I could come in and tell you a bunch of stories, show you a bunch of videos, but the reality is what you need is you need to do business with God. So I want you to do that right now. In these next few moments, just bow your head, say, God, examine my heart. Go through maybe some relationships in your life. Say, Lord, is there anything in my life that needs to be made right with you? And if He shows you something that needs to change, then repent and change. Some of you need to trust Him. You need to give Him your heart for the very first time. You need to surrender your life to Him for real. Not just knowing about Him, but really surrendering your life to Him. And I just encourage you to do that. And you have time as this song plays. Just take a few moments and do that right now. Just your head bowed and eyes closed.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become His righteousness. He humbled Himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Yeah.
your heads bowed and your eyes closed as we prepare to observe this Lord's Supper here. So I just have to let you know, number one, if you're not a Christian, this is for people that have already trusted Christ, that are followers of Him. And it's for people that are right with Him, that have repented of their sin. They're not saying they're perfect, but they're saying they've examined their hearts, they've repented, where God's revealed something. And that's what this table is open to. And as you feel comfortable, I'm going to pray, but we keep our heads bowed and eyes closed, and you examine your hearts, and if you feel comfortable, you head back there to that table, and just right at that table, you take the bread, and as you bite in that bread, remember that God physically became a man. People touched Him and felt Him, and His body was beaten for you. And as you drink that juice, remember that His blood was shed for your sin, so that you could be right with God. And now we have a tremendous freedom. And ask Him to let you make the most of that. Lord, thank You that You died for us. Thank You that we can remember that this morning. And I pray that us remembering that would affect our lives tomorrow. And God, I pray not only that, but that because we know You, that You would use us to make a difference in so many other people's lives. I ask all this in Your name.
Became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become His righteousness. He humbled Himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing.
You still have time to do all that. We'll sing this song together here.